We not only want him here, but we need him here. Amen. We'll do almost anything we can do to get him here. And then we're going to do anything we can to keep him here. Because we need Jesus in this house. Amen. This is what it's all about, folks. Amen. I'm not about anything else, but let Jesus in the house and let him have his way. Amen. Whatever it takes, get Jesus here. You can do without Brother Grissom, and you can do without anybody else sitting on these pews, but we cannot do without the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to have him in our midst. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus is teaching at the seashore. He's in a boat, just perhaps cast a little ways off. And I've been into the Sea of Galilee, and I've been, it's almost like an amphitheater. There's hills that rise up from the sea. And we were the opposite. We were standing up on the mountain, and we were looking down toward the sea. But Jesus was on the sea looking up toward the hillside. And we were way up on the mountain up there, and there was a tractor way down by the water, and you could hear it clearly way up there. It's kind of an interesting thing. It was as if his voice could carry all the way from the seashore all the way up the mountain. And as Jesus was teaching, if you can just kind of get the picture, he's teaching the word of God, and all of a sudden people can see somebody up there, and he's got his bag and he's sowing seed in the ground that he's prepared. And Jesus begins teaching a story. He said the sower went forth to sow. Amen. And he begins to tell a story about a sower and some seed. Amen. And it's really interesting when you can be there and you can see it happening. Amen. And it adds a whole lot to the story when you just see somebody and he's out there sowing seed. And he said, and he's sowing the seed, and they said some of the seed falls on the wayside. And they said some of the seed falls on some stony ground. And he said, and some of the seed falls on thorny ground, and some of the seed falls on good ground. Amen. And the parable, of course, is simply that the sower is the preacher, and the seed is the word of God. Amen. But what reminds our, have the result that the seed is going to have, it's not because of the sower, and it's not because of the seed, but it's the heart of the hearer. Is the heart prepared? Amen. You see, is the heart a wayside, which means it's been trampled down until it's hard and crusty, and it has no, the seed has no penetration. Somebody has their guard up. They don't really want to listen, and so the seed's not going to do them any good. And he said, in some, it's going to sink in, but right below the surface, there's some hardness, there's some unforgiveness, there's some bitterness, there's something that does not allow the seed to penetrate, and it can't get in a root. And so when the sun comes out, it'll blister down, and the seed will die. Or some are like thorny ground. It'll grow up, but they haven't. There's some still issues that people have not dealt with. And so it's just one plant among thorns. And after a while, the thorns will choke the life out of it, and it'll no longer exist. He said, but some will fall on good ground. Thank God for good ground today. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for folks that grasp the word of God and love the word of God and receive the word of God and nurture the word of God so that it can bring blessing into your life. Amen. And then he tells another story about seed and soil. He tells a story about a man that sowed good seed in his field. He said, But when it grew up, he said, there was not only wheat, but there were also tares. And they all grew up together. And he looked at that and he said, an enemy has done this. He sowed good seed. But somebody else came along and sowed some bad seed. Let me tell you, life is a combination of good seed and bad seed. And you're going to experience some of both. And if you haven't, you haven't lived long enough yet. But you will. You will. And so his servant said, should we pull up the tares? He said, oh no. He said, you just let them grow together. He said, and when the harvest comes, he said that the harvesters will separate the good from the bad, and we'll bind up the evil, and we'll throw it into the fire, and we'll take the good to the barn. Now, explains this parable a little further down in verse number 36 to verse number 43. It explains that the seed, of course, is the word of God, and the good seed. He said that's the children of the kingdom. And the bad seed, that's the children of the wicked one. Now, folks, let me point out something really important about this parable. Jesus said, let them grow together. Now, sometimes we want to clean the church. But let me tell you the problem of pulling up tares. Because when you pull up some tares, you're going to leave some good. I've been in this business a long, long time now. And I've seen all kinds of people. And I've never made anybody leave a church. I was in a service one Sunday morning, and the Holy Ghost, I believe the Lord spoke to me, and I don't say that lightly. I'm not one of those people that, you know, the Holy Ghost tells me what brand of pickles to buy or anything like that. I'm not that spiritual. I just buy what I like. Amen. Or what my wife tells me to. One or the other. The case may be. Amen. I'd rather put up with something I don't like than put up with her displeasure. So I just get, you know, you understand. You've been there. And all the men said, real macho life. Said, yeah, I don't know. Amen. Amen. And so that's called the power of influence. It's because we love our wife. That's why we do that. But anyway, back to the story. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost, I believe, spoke to my heart. I was praying. And a certain individual in the church come into my mind. And the Lord just simply, he told me this. And it's kind of almost angry, said that, because she'd been causing some trouble. And the Lord said, give her to me. And a great sense of compassion struck me at that moment. And I said, Lord, just give me one more year. Just give me one more year. And you know, there was a parable in the Bible where a man wanted to cut down a tree. But the husbandman said, just one more year. Just let me try one more year. That's what seemed to come in my mind. I said, just one more year. And so the Lord gave me that one more year. Amen. And after that year passed by, some things happened. Things blew up. That particular individual that the Lord said, give her to, she left. There's nothing I could do to salvage it. No matter what I said, no matter what I did, couldn't get her back. But here's the sad thing. That woman was married to a man that was pure gold. I've never met a greater Christian than her husband. And he held on for two or three months. And then he went away also. And her son, her daughter, and her husband, and their two or three children went away also. Beautifully, God restored the woman and her husband, but that other family still lost. Here's what I'm saying, folks. You've got to be very careful about pulling on tares, because they're right next to some beautiful. And you're to pull up some tares and get rid of some things that, yeah, they need to be dealt with, all right, but it's maybe not be your job to deal with it. and it may not be the time to deal with it. So the Lord's advice was simply this: let them grow together. Let them grow together. Do you honestly think a person can destroy the church of Jesus Christ? I don't think so. I believe he said, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, people can build churches, or they can build organizations, and they can get together a congregation of people. And if it's built on a man, it can be destroyed by a man. And if it's built on a personality, it can be destroyed by a personality. But if it's built on Jesus Christ, heaven and earth can't tear it apart. There's not a power in hell that can destroy it. Because Jesus said, I'll build my church. And if we're building his church, it's going to stand. There's not a person that can tear it up. So we just got to be sure, folks, we're building the right foundation. Don't build anything else but Jesus Christ. And it will stand. It will stand. It'll change, yes, but it'll stand. Amen. And so be very careful about taking care of things yourself. I learned a long time ago the Holy Ghost takes care of things a lot better than I do. Amen. And the worst time to take care of anything is when you're upset. Now, those of you that have never preached behind a pulpit don't know what it's like to have a fire going on the inside, some things that need to be dealt with on the inside, and you're just seething because you're a human being, and you got feelings, and you walk to a pulpit to preach. But somehow the Holy Ghost has to put a lid on all that so that mercy and compassion can do its job. Amen. Praise God. It's not an easy situation. It's not easy to do because we're all human beings. Amen. Sometimes we want to take care of things, but you better be real careful tugging on tears. Because you'll tear up some wheat. Some wheat that didn't need to be lost. There are going to be people lost in eternity because somebody had to pull a tear. And when they did, they pulled up some wheat along with it. Be very careful. Be very careful about tugging on the tares. Leave it alone. Jesus said, you just leave it alone. He said, when the harvesters come, they'll take care of it. They will take care of it. Amen. And I believe that's going to happen. Praise God. Another thing Jesus told his disciples, well, I've always loved this verse. There were some disciples that came to Jesus and they said, Lord, we saw some people and they were preaching your name and they were healing in your name and they were doing works in your name and we made them stop because they were not part of us. And Jesus said, well, if they're not against us, then they're for us. So he said, what? Leave them alone. Now listen very carefully. He did not say, go join them. He said, leave them alone. Now, God's doing a work in the end time. And there's some folks that are coming the right direction, but they're just not all the way yet. And some of us are wanting to go join them where they are instead of letting them come where we are. We're going to meet them halfway instead of letting them come all the way. And that's wrong. You never leave more for less. You, the Bible said Aquila and Priscilla, they met a fellow by the name of Apollos. And they didn't join him, but they explained to him the way more clearly. They said, Apollos, you come to where we are. We want you to have everything we have. We want you to know everything we know. They didn't say, we'll chunk what we know so we can stop where you are. You don't go from less or more to less, but you go from less to more. That's our job and responsibility. I'm talking about the field today. Amen. And so you got to be very careful when you're working in the field. Everybody say working. Now like this. Look at this verse number 44. You didn't think I'd ever get back to it, did you? You thought I'd already forgot, but I hadn't. Amen. It said the man is in the field. Now, the greatest work that you're going to do while you're in the field, that's the work you're going to do. Some people say sometimes, you know, I need to quit my job so I can go work for the Lord. Then why don't you just work for the Lord on your job? I need to get out of school and go work for God. No, work for God in the school. You see, you're already in the field. And where's the treasure? Where's the treasure? Where's the treasure? It's where you are. He found the treasure while he was working in the field. He didn't find it in the church. He found it in the field. There's a lot of jewels on these pews here this morning. But I'm telling you, the treasure's still in the field. Somebody that you're working with may be a treasure. Somebody that you go to school with may be a treasure. Only God knows what evangelist is on your job, or what evangelist may be in your school, or what pastor, or what missionary, or Sunday school teacher, or gospel songwriter, or singer, or musician, whatever, position, whatever they are. There's some treasures in the field. So he's out working in the field, and right in the middle of it, woo, he found a treasure. Now, in Bible times, they didn't have banks like we do today. So a lot of times, especially if they were having to go on a long journey, they knew stuff wouldn't be safe in the house, so they'd find a secret place and they'd bury it. And if something happened while they were on the journey, nobody knew where it was. And so they're literally treasures hidden in fields. So the man was doing his work in the field and he found a treasure. And the Bible said, obviously, he was happy. He was joyful. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, he got so excited, he said, this treasure is worth more than everything that I own. So he sold all of his possessions so that he could buy the treasure. No. So he could buy the field. Because there might be some more treasures out there. I said there might be some more treasures out there. Don't get so excited over one treasure that you'll overlook others. No, sometimes we get all excited. One gets saved and we get so excited because one got saved. We got the treasure. Well, there's still a treasure in the field. We got one, but let's go get some more. Amen. Now hang on. Buckle your seatbelt here. And this is going to get ugly before it gets good. Amen. If you're disgruntled today, you need to go find your treasure. If you need some joy today, you need to go find your treasure. Amen. The Bible said he was out working in the field. I found that people that are really working in the field are rarely disgruntled people. They're not really unhappy people because they're too busy. Amen. They're working in the field. Praise God. Amen. They're producing something. Hallelujah. And so they're happy folks. The ones that usually are disgruntled are folks that are sitting on the sidelines or at the table. At the table. You spend too much time at the table, you lose your appetite. And you start getting real picky. Now, I just feed on the good stuff. I love the deep things of God. Not just everybody can feed me. And you need to push away from the table and have feel. You spend a little time in the field, and you'll be so hungry when you get back to the table. Beans and cornbread will be just fine. Long as there's lots of it. Man. Hello? Hello? Amen. I'm telling you the truth today. You get in the field and you get hungry enough. Everything's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And you just find out that my, this is good. Somebody's sitting over there judging and you don't have time to judge. You're so busy shoving it in. They got a pitchfork feeding everybody but themselves, and you got a rake saying, give me more. Amen. Praise God. They're sitting there like a rock, everything running off. You're like a sponge soaking everything up. Amen. Just give me more. I like sponges in the church. Amen. People just get so full, they walk outside. Everybody they bump into gets a little Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. They get in situations where it's harsh and hard. Man, they're just so full of the love of God. It just splashes all over everybody. Amen. Praise God. We need to be sponges. We need to get so full, amen, that we're running over when we get out of here. Because the treasure is still in the field. Amen. The treasure is still in the field. Amen. Praise God. And he said, you know what? He said, that treasure's worth more than anything I've got. It's worth more than anything I possess. And so he went and he sold everything he had. He said, just so I can go get a treasure. Praise the Lord. Just so I can go and get a treasure. Amen. Praise God. There was a man that prayed a prayer one time. In a service sort of like this morning, where a message kind of like this about evangelism and soul winning. And he got all stirred up. And he said, God, he said, when we get under the Holy Ghost sometimes, we'll say things we don't really mean. And that was one of those times. He said, God, he said, I don't care if I lose my job. Now, why in the world would a man say something like that? He said, I want to win a soul. He went to work the next morning, and where he worked, the gates were locked shut. I mean, they had shut it down over the weekend and didn't tell anybody. His prayer was being answered. He said, I don't care if I lose my job. And he lost it. So he's had to find a new job. So he went out looking, and sure enough, wasn't long till he had another job. And come break time, he went into the break room, and there was a young man over there, and he was reading his Bible. And he looked at the young man, and he said, are you a Christian? He said, I'm trying to be. He said, what are you reading? He said, I'm reading over in Acts chapter 2. He said, you know anything about that? He said, yes, sir. I know something about that. And so right there in the break room, he started telling him about Acts 2:38. Hallelujah. He started explaining to him the way more fully. What he didn't know is he was finding a treasure. He was finding it. He didn't know he was finding a treasure, but he was finding one. And he explained to that young man Acts 2:38, and the young man came to church and got the Holy Ghost, and he got baptized. Hallelujah. And the Lord called him to ministry, and he's a tremendous preacher today. And he's pastored some great churches and established a great home missions church, and then God called him into foreign missions, and today he's a foreign missionary, and he's won thousands of souls to the Lord, and he's a great missionary for the cause of Jesus Christ. But somebody got hungry and said, I'm going to go to the field. I need to get back in the field, and God helped him find a treasure. Amen. You know, you gotta. Sometimes it's hard to see a treasure through the dirt. If you're not careful and you're not looking spiritually, all you're going to see is a dirty old sinner. You can't get past the foul mouth, and you can't get past the bad manners, and you can't get past the bad attitude. But if you can get spiritual enough, God will help you to see a treasure. He'll help you to look on the heart, just like He does. And you'll find yourself praying for so-and-so. God, save him. He's a treasure. Him, and I know he's buried right now, but if we can just get below the surface, there's a treasure there. Amen. I'm just saying to you today, treasure still in the field. We need to go do some treasure hunting today. You know what? If you're already in the field, you may not even have to look very long. It may just happen while you're working. God just team you up with somebody, and it'll amaze you, because you never dreamed there'd be a treasure where you're working. Now the next parable, he dealt with a man that was looking for a good one. And he searched all over the world to find it. But he found it. Sometimes we go looking for treasure, and sometimes it's just right there in the field. Sometimes it's right under our nose all the time. You know, there are some people that say they're willing to go to Africa, but they're not willing to go to Athens. God, I'll go somewhere else and win souls. What about right here? What about the field right here? Doesn't have to be foreign soil. What's wrong with domestic soil? And just start right here. I can tell you this much. If you want to be a missionary, one of the first things the mission board is going to ask you, what did you do at home? They want to know not what you're going to do, but what you've been doing. What are you doing right now? Are you in the field? Treasure's in the field. Amen. My house is full, but my field is empty. Who will go and work for me today? It seems my children all want to stay around the table, but no one wants to work in the field. Would you stand with me today? Anybody here feel a call into the field? There's a reason we call it the mission field, and we call it the evangelistic field. Amen. Because that's what it is. It's a workplace. If you think it's a place where you're star can shine, you're mistaken. If you think it's a place you can exercise your talent and receive great adulation, you're mistaken. It's just a field. It's just a field. It's hot, and it's work, and there's sweat involved, there's sacrifice involved, there's pain involved, there's discipline that's involved. It's a field. It's a workplace. Amen. But there's a treasure there. There's treasure there. Amen. Anybody willing to go to the field today? Anybody willing to go to the field today? Jesus offered a prayer request one time. He said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. He said, for the wheat is ripe already unto harvest. Amen. Any laborers here today? Any hands ready for the harvest? Anybody here saying, here am I, Lord. Send me. Help me to be a soul winner. Help me to find a Help me to look in my school. Maybe there's a treasure sitting right beside me. Help me on my job, God, because maybe there's somebody working with me. Right now they're a little dirty, but inside they're a treasure. They're just looking for a Savior. My wife went to the junior college here many years ago when she was a student. There was a young man in her class. He was from the country of Venezuela. And she knew that he was quite wealthy. His family was very wealthy. They supplied the beef for about half of a city of several hundred thousand people. They owned construction companies. They were educated and influential. And the Lord said, I want you to tell him about me. And she said, well, you know, he probably wouldn't be interested. But she pushed that all aside, and right there in the classroom, she witnessed to Jesus Moreno. Jesus came to church with my wife, and he'd never been to a Pentecostal church in his life. But Jesus wound up just about right there. And he stood there, and he lifted his hands, and he started praying. And the Holy Ghost smote Jesus and knocked him flat on the floor. And he lay there on the floor speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave him the utterance. And after a little while, his eyes flew open. And the first thing he said was, I lost control. Indeed he did. Amen. Praise God. But God found the treasure. Sitting right across from my wife in a classroom. Amen. She didn't do anything but just talk to him and give him an invitation. God's got some treasures. I'm telling you, there's still some treasures out there, folks. They're not all here yet. There's some jewels on these pews, but I'm telling you, there's some treasure out there. Now hear me. You're going to have to dig through some dirt. You're going to have to put up with some stuff first. There's some treasure. If we're willing to dig, work for some treasure. Amen. Let's find us a place and talk to the Lord this morning.